Welcome to this meeting of the Canterbury-Bankstown Local Planning Panel on the 6th of July 2026. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Acknowledgement of Country. The Canterbury-Bankstown Local Planning Panel acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, water and skies of Canterbury-Bankstown, the Darug people. The panel recognises and respects Darug cultural heritage, beliefs and relationship with the land, and the panel acknowledges the First Peoples continuing importance of the Canterbury-Bankstown city community. My name is Julie Walsh and I'm the chair of tonight's panel meeting. Also sitting with me are on my right Ursula Lang and Marcus Trimble as expert members, and on my left Osman Said, the community representative from Roselands Ward. A site inspection was carried out prior to the meeting in relation to the one item on the agenda, and declarations of interest were signed by all panel members declaring no interest in the agenda item. I'll just ask the people present if there's any change to that. No change, no change, no change, and I have no change either. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. The minutes of the Canterbury-Bankstown Local Planning Panel meeting held on the 1st of June 2026 have been confirmed as correct by the chair of that meeting. We don't have any registered speakers objecting to the item on the agenda today. We have two speakers representing the applicant who are available to answer questions. After we've heard from them, the public meeting will be closed and we will determine the DA in private session, and we'll have the minutes on the council website by Friday. So the item we're considering is DA 1174/2025 Forrester Street, Kingsgrove. Change to operations of existing paper and cardboard resource recovery facility, including 24-hour operation. The application is both designated development and nominated integrated development. So the representatives of the applicant, if you could come here, and I think we do have some questions for you. So Paul Meyer, the New South Wales Collections Lead from Lumbos Exports Proprietary Limited, the applicant's representative, and Luke McPherson, the Senior Consultant, Assured Environmental, you're the acoustic expert. Okay. Well, I might just get Ms. Lang, I think, has some... I have some acoustic questions, but I think Ms. Lang has some other questions. Yes.
Thank you, Paul. I'll go over that again. The proposal involves 14 commercial vehicles to achieve a doubling of the production capacity. I'd like to ask the applicant about the arrangements for the 8 trucks that can't be accommodated on the site, based on the amended site plan, which only shows 6 commercial vehicles being parked on the site.
Hello. So the doubling of waste which will be received at the site is premised on splitting the shifts, including the trucks as well. So currently we're restricted from 6 till 6, and so at the end of the shift we have to bring all our trucks back. In the event that we are granted the consent, we'd be looking to having those trucks operating, collecting from our customers for an extended period of time. As an interim measure, because it's going to take us a little bit of time to ramp up to that maximum volume, we will be off-siting 8 of those vehicles at one of our other facilities at Britton Street in Smithfield. So the intent on the short term, because there are 6 trucks, a majority of our customers are within the Kingsgrove and South Sydney section, they will be based at Kingsgrove. And the trucks which are currently servicing Western Sydney and the industrial estates out there, they're going to be based at Smithfield. Once we have sufficient volume to double shift them, they'll be continually out on the road and bringing waste back into the facility, plus other facilities, depending on the geographical distance to where they're based and where our customers are.
So if a condition is imposed requiring a maximum of six commercial vehicles on the site parking at any one time, would that be a problem?
No, we'd be comfortable with that.
And what would happen if the Smithfield site becomes unavailable?
We have depots in Girraween, Seven Hills, Ingleburn, and another location. Sorry, we've got other depots.
You've got other options.
We've got other options as well. It's obviously geographically very fortuitous and efficient for us in Smithfield at the moment, and we'd be looking to retain that or find another site to store trucks and bins.
Amongst the panel, we've been discussing a condition that would require the on-site parking, and that includes the 21 spaces that have been assessed as required to be line marked and provided on site before the increase in production. Would that be a problem?
For the light vehicles, we're happy to do that. With the truck parking, it's quite difficult in that there's an ebb and flow as to we might have bins over here or pallets. Sorry, what do I do if I haven't got an exact answer? Do I say I'll come back, or what's the guidance?
Well, I think you need to clean up a lot of those areas to prepare for the accommodation of those six commercial vehicles.
Certainly the light vehicles, we can absolutely consent to that and agree to that. With the truck parking, I'd need to come back and firm the response to you if I could do that, please.
We would like to address those matters in the conditions to ensure that the site is properly prepared for the increase in production.
Mm-hmm. Karen. Sorry, can I just ask a question? What would be the maximum size of the trucks that would be parking in those six parking spaces?
It'd be a four-axle rigid truck, so with a maximum mass of 28 tonnes. So I think they're 8.8 to 9.0 metres in length and 3.6 high, approximately.
I would like to ask one more question. Mm-hmm. Would you be accepting of a condition that there's to be no on-street car parking for either commercial vehicles or staff?
Commercial, certainly commercial. We do obviously have visitors, as we did with you today. I could say that we would ask our vehicles under our control, so our staff and our...
I was only thinking of staff.
Yes, staff. I'd be happy to accept that one, yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Would it cover visitors and contractors and whatnot?
Just staff.
Yep, I'd be happy to agree to that.
Mr. Trimble, did you have some questions?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's a question around the acoustic report and the assessment of the noise generated by truck movements late at night or early morning. That I understand that you could have commercial vehicles in and out of the site 24 hours a day. Is that right? Yep. And I think in the acoustic report, the existing road noise at night is stated at 51 dBA, and then that goes up to 52 with the additional traffic noise. I just want to understand, is that realistic? Is that at say 3 a.m. that there's only a 1 dB increase due to a truck, you know, going down a quiet street, or is that sort of an averaged out across that longer period?
Yeah, so the important thing to understand with that 1 dB increase is that is your, that the metric that is used there is a 1 hour metric, and it is essentially your energy average over that period, your average of your acoustic energy over that period. What that means is that for a relatively short duration event, such as a truck pass by while the peak is reasonably high, once it averages out over that period, the increase might not be quite as much as you expect. And of course, this is also relative to any existing vehicle traffic that goes by in that same 3 a.m. period, so to speak.
Okay, I guess that answers my question, but I guess we're trying to understand what the impact is of this development on what I assume is generally a quite residential street in the early hours of the morning. How many trucks would be going through that street on a busy night? Do you anticipate how many movements would you have? How many trucks would be coming in and out?
I think if you give a number per hour, that's the most relevant to the acoustic assessment because it works on a 1 hour metric. So if you have an idea of...
Could you give me a moment to...
Get sure, back? Thanks.
Excuse me.
While you're looking that up, the other acoustic question I had was around the assessment of the existing building and its, I think, RW value of assumed 25. Is that realistic? The building is basically colourbond clad on steel structure without any insulation. There's a lot of gaps in the facade as well. I'm not an expert, so is 25 RW value a reasonable assumption for that build-up?
I will just clarify one point here for transparency, is that I'm not the acoustic consultant that prepared this report. It was prepared by a different company, and I've been brought in to sort of assist. I've reviewed the report in detail. So RW25 for a single sheet colourbond, in my opinion, is pretty realistic. Steel is quite a high density material, and that plays a lot of the part for its acoustic performance. If it might help as like a sanity check, a single sheet of plasterboard is getting you RW28 to 30 or something like that. So that's, you know, a reasonably thin sheet. Steel is a much higher density material. So that component of it, yes, I agree, is reasonable. I can't speak to how the any gaps in the facade were captured in the acoustic modelling because I didn't prepare it.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was my question. So have you been to the site?
Yes, I have.
And so when we're on site, we were looking at where the roller shutter door, the main one, was going to be, and there were large gaps in the colour bond.
As in the openings where the roller shutter doors
are? No, there's the roller shutter door and then the actual colour bond had gaps in it.
Yeah, there's large air gaps in parts of the facade.
Yes, I did note some of those. I suspect the noise, in my experience, would be dominated by the noise out of an opening such as a roller door, just based on purely an area sort of component. Again, I'm not exactly sure whether those were captured in the modelling.
So in the acoustic report on page 34, there are a whole lot of assumptions made. Do you have the acoustic report there?
I don't have it in front of me. Okay.
So
Thank
if you.
You
could make it available on page...
I've got it here for you.
Page 34. There are a number of assumptions. I just wanted you to read those and tell me if you think those are realistic.
Might be. Okay, would you like me to just read through each one?
No, just like if you could read through them, and because I obviously those assumptions underpin the final conclusion that it's acceptable from a noise point of view, and then feeds into the, I was then going to ask a question about the recommended measures to be taken.
Okay. The first is topographical information has been obtained from Google Earth. To me, that's acceptable. It's capturing the sort of lay of the land, which has, you know, effects for topographic screening, which can affect your acoustics over the shorter distances that we are talking about in this case. With some of the nearby receptors, the effects of any topographic screening I would say are quite minimal. So the, you know, how perfect that topographic inclusion in it is in the model is probably not too critical to the overall results. The next area.
Can we just skip down? Did it one truck? We were talking about trucks.
Yes.
One truck was assumed to site everything.
Yes.
Trucks have been assumed to travel on the site at 10 kilometres an hour.
Yes.
And they're modelled. My question there is, if the trucks are to be limited to 10 kilometres an hour on the site, why is there a need for a limit on there going on the road, going through the residential street?
I don't think it's saying that they've been limited. I think the assumption is the modelling.
Sorry. Obviously, you know, a significant number of the trucks which are entering and exit site are under our control through either contract or directly owned by a sister entity of Lumbos Exports. But on the road, obviously, we don't have as much control. Within our current site rules and within our induction for our drivers and our customers, we do say that, you know, it's a residential area and we have a site limit at 10 kilometres an hour. You know, I wouldn't know how to respond to how to control a truck driver on a public road, unfortunately. But the public road part, it is a residential area and the approaches do sort of dictate that they are decelerating through the street based on current practice.
So I was just confused about why you want a low speed limit of 10 kilometres an hour on the site, but not off the site. I mean, I know that what you're saying is you can't control what's off the site, but why was it necessary to have a speed limit on the site?
It's a required input in a noise model to specify your vehicle speed. I believe 10 kilometres an hour is the assumption that's essentially been made in line with what's standard practice on the site.
The site speed limit's been 10 kilometres an hour for longer than I've been employed by the company. So it's quite common within these types of facilities to have a 10 kilometre speed limit from both a safety and a pedestrian interaction perspective. So potentially dual purpose there.
And I would agree with that last point, that 10 kilometres per hour in my experience with industrial sites is a very common assumption.
And what about all the beeping noises that they make when they're moving on site? Is that being taken into account?
Yes. Yeah. I don't actually believe the noise metal and noise models or the noise report specifically noted alarms being captured. So whether that's incorporated into the overall source sound power levels and things like that, I'm not quite sure. I believe that's sort of an assumption beyond what the report specifies. However, I am aware that on site they have sort of low noise, low tonal alarms rather than your sort of high energy beepers that you might find in other settings.
And then just going across to the recommendations on page 36, I think they have been incorporated into the conditions, the roller shutter doors to be closed between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m, trucks to be prohibited from using exhaust brakes on site. How would you prevent the trucks from using exhaust brakes off site?
So exhaust brakes are generally utilised when decelerating from a high speed, so generally on the freeway and on larger roads. Engine braking is generally not used, below 60 kilometres an hour. So given that the approach rate is 50 kilometres an hour and they're decelerating coming into the entrance and the site speed limit, I could be fairly confident that that's how it reason it would not be used.
So would you have an objection to a,
absolutely
to a condition
not
requiring a sign requesting
no, not at all,
not
nor the speed limit or an inclusion of tonal reversing sensors, which all of our equipment, our site plant has, as well as our vehicles under our control. It comes as a standard in most of the modern trucks these days.
And then the last recommendation is on-site vehicles to be maintained in accordance with a preventative maintenance program to ensure optimal performance and early detection of wearing or noisy components. That's on page 36. How would you enforce
that? We have no objection to that, and we are already doing that as part of our obligations to the heavy vehicle right national law. So we're comfortable with that as well.
Okay. And are you aware of any other 24-hour day operation in this industrial area?
No, sorry, I'm not aware of it.
No, neither am I. Not to say it doesn't exist, I'm just not aware of it.
Okay. Or they were my questions. Okay.
Excuse me, Chair.
I do have
that. Excuse me, Chair. To answer Marcus's earlier question, and we covered it off in the assumptions, the assumption is that one vehicle every 15 minutes would be passing through. That was your question, how many should we
Yeah, in the requisite report. So I guess to follow up on that, when we're walking through the facility today, I think you mentioned that the 24-hour operation is won't be every day, and it's when you potentially have maintenance that requires you to work later one night. Is that the case, or is it?
So there are two parts to the development. The first part is around the processing of paper and cardboard. We don't expect that we would be operating it after 10 p.m. on, 90% of the time, 10% of the time we would, there are breakdowns, there are mechanical breakdowns, something's gone wrong and we're not able to do it. The intention is the evening, the 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. is prep work, cleaning, planned and programmed maintenance, and on the, touch wood, hopefully not too often, that when there is a breakdown later in the day, that's cleared through, ready for 6 a.m. in the morning, when we can start dispatching the process material. The second part of it is the utilisation of those trucks being able to come in and out. So these are the collection vehicles. A lot of industrial estates these days do operate 24/7. So it is our intention to be able to go out to Western Sydney when there's no traffic on the roads and collect it and bring it back to our site so that up until 10 p.m. it can be pushed through and maintained, or if one comes through at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, it's just dropped on the ground until it can be processed at 6 a.m. So the operation of the fixed machinery, the balers, the shredders, the air filtration systems, the majority of that would be from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Yes, I do. So one of our concerns has been the potential sleep disturbance to the nearby residents. So there is a proposed condition 52, which requires a further acoustic assessment. So is this something that that the applicant, being you the applicant, would be prepared to do down the track, given that there are still some uncertainties with the acoustic assessment and, for example, the gaps in the building, possibly the activities happening in the external areas of the site?
Excuse me.
Have you got the conditions there?
Yes, I've got
it. The condition is called further acoustic assessment.
So, and would that be a requirement after a set period of time, or in the event that that there are complaints, or is that an undertaking that you're looking for us to sort of commit to within 12 months? Or
we're still looking at the wording of this condition as to whether we can enforce it, but and address some of our concerns regarding the acoustic.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Uncertainty.
Certainly.
Okay. My other question is relating to the the provision of a disabled car space, which was a requirement of the previous consent. That's not been accommodated, so that there hasn't been compliance so far in that regard, and the requirement for a disabled toilet within the actual complex.
We'd be happy to have that condition as well and have it internally within the main office section.
And you would look at the options for a disabled space. Obviously, it needs to be close to the office area.
Would that fit within the 21 spaces?
Yes. It just would need to be slightly wider.
Yes. No, we're happy to consider as well.
Okay, thank you.
Accept that.
I was just going to add to Ursula's point about the accessible bathroom, that could potentially have a accessible shower in it that could then double as a female change shower facility.
So I did speak to site management about the showers there, and I don't know if this gives comfort to the panel, but our workers don't utilise those at all, given that it is dust. We do have on-site laundry facilities for the staff, and often they just change out of their clothes into their personal clothes and we wash them on site. Sorry, what was the comment?
Oh, it was just suggesting that the accessible bathroom could also have an accessible shower, a shower bathroom, and then it could operate as a female change facility.
The investigation that we did after the site visit, we did kind of work out, and we did look up the size requirements, we would be able to merge the internal toilets. We could take two of them out and make it a one combined shower. So yes, we'd be happy.
I think that would be a good option.
It would prove quite difficult within the production warehouse area, given the access constraints, but within the main office, we'd be happy to consider that.
Okay. One more question. No more questions. Thank you.
Okay, did you have any other comments or in relation to the questions? All right. Well, that was a short meeting. It's 6:30 p.m. We're now going to close the public meeting. As I said, we'll go into a closed session. We'll make our decision, and our decision with reasons will be on the council website by Friday. Thank you for coming along this evening, and thank you to the staff and my fellow panel members. Thank you. The meeting is closed.